Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is, we're certainly looking at the parable of the prodigal son, but I want to focus, as I said earlier, on the aspect of the nature of the father and to look at some of the earliest teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples on just that. And the Lord's Prayer is a good place to start. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Now, names are important things, and remembering people's names is very important. I always have a lot of trouble with that, remembering people's names. And it's kind of ironic because a lot of people forget my name, or they mispronounce it. You know, I've got Ned, Jed, Fred, you know, all kinds of things other than Ted. And yet it's important. Something did occur to me, though, from teaching my elective classes in here at about 2:10 in the afternoon, when kids really don't want to be there, right? And I learned something about myself, and that is, the worse the kid, the best I know their name, okay? There's one kid I've been having for like 4 years. First day I ever had that kid in class, I knew his name. I still know it. I'm not going to say it, even though you're never going to meet him. But he was he built an ark, and he was saved from the flood. But I'm not saying his name, okay? Anyway, it's just, it's he's so annoying to me, and just glories in how annoying he is to me, that instantly I knew his name. But names are important, not just because people annoy us, but also because people cause us to rejoice. Now, in this text, to look at this, I think Jesus was teaching his disciples about his father with that name, Abba, in this prayer. Now, prayer was always an important thing for Jesus. All throughout his ministry, he's strengthening himself in prayer. It's also very important for him to teach his disciples what prayer is and how to pray. It was so important, in fact, that when one of his disciples says, "Well, you teach us how to pray," Jesus doesn't give a parable about it, right? There was a man in a distant country or something like that. He doesn't use all kinds of confusing illustrations or images. He just says, "You want to know how to pray? This is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And it's that first word, Abba, Father, that is critical and revolutionary in prayer. It's revolutionary because of its meaning, and it's revolutionary because of the language in which it is used. It's, now, when we look at the meaning of Abba, it is a very intimate term for your father. Now, that being the case, some people translate it as daddy. Okay, it's not daddy. All right. For example, this word was used by Isaac speaking to Abraham when Abraham was taking him out to sacrifice him. All right. Keeping in mind that Isaac is 20 years old, roughly, and he has some idea what's going on. That being the case, I really don't. Well, and on top of that, Abraham's over 100. So if Isaac wanted to stop the whole thing, he would very easily be able to do this. That being the case, since he is facing his imminent death, I really don't think he's going to say, "Hey, Daddy, you know, where's the animal for the sacrifice?" What he does say, considering this situation, is Abba, which is Father, Sir. It's a word of intimacy, but also of respect and obedience. And yet it was a word that was never used in prayer prior to this for God. I mean, the disciples would have found this very uncomfortable. People 2,000 years ago, like today, have problems praying, right? What do we pray? What do we say? How do we do it the right way? The disciples, back then prayer was very ornamental and structured, and there wasn't an easy way to pray. And when you did it, you never said the word Abba. Now, the name God, the word God, was used in terms of our Heavenly Father by the people in the Old Testament and the people in Jesus' day. But it was always used in one of two ways, either as a simile or a metaphor. So the difference between those two is a simile is the woman's smile is like the sunshine, and a metaphor is poetic, saying the woman's smile is the sunshine, right? Now, in neither of these ways does Jesus use the word Abba for God. He certainly doesn't say, pray this way, God, who is like my Father, who art in heaven. He doesn't say that, and it's certainly not being used in a poetic way. He is basically giving a title for God, his Father. And he's defining God, his Father, in this word. It's very important for the disciples. He wants them to know how he calls his Father, and he wants them to call his Father the same thing. It was also revolutionary because of the language that's being used. Because ancient religions, like Christianity, have sacred languages. Islam has old Arabic, not even new, but old Arabic. Judaism has Hebrew. These are sacred languages. Now, you can read the Quran or the Torah in English, certainly, but it's not official unless it's in old Arabic or Hebrew. If that had been the case for us as Christians, then the New Testament would have been written in Hebrew, and we'd all have to learn Hebrew. And trust me, I did that for 8 years. It's not a lot of fun. But what does Jesus say? When he says, Abba, Father, he's opening the door to the New Testament and our entire religious life in terms with God in the language of people. Abba is Aramaic. That's what people spoke every day. There is no special language for a special people because this is not just the Father, this is our Father, and in God's eyes, we are all special. Now, even though there was pushback against the word Abba, Father, 2,000 years ago, there is today. Islam, for example, is just mortified by the fact that we call God Father. It's horrible that we do that, according to them. And even in a lot of people in our own culture, it's a problem. Right? It's Father. And they say it's pushing the patriarchy. Ooh, you know, because, you know, men are in charge and they're all bossy and stuff. And, oh, we got to put that down. It's got nothing. That's the most delusional thing I've ever heard. It has nothing to do about that men are always right. No, it's not the case. But it's not about the patriarchy at all. Okay? Because it's not about me as a father or you as a father. It's about his Father. And his Father is unlike any father in the world. And to see his Father in action, you look at our parable today, the parable of the prodigal son. This Father acts in a way that no father ever would have, and according to the people listening to Jesus, no father ever should have. He demeans himself and he humbles himself to bring the younger son back into the family, and he attempts to do the same thing with the older son. That's how God is with us. And that's how God is our Father. He's patient and kind and humbles himself to save us. He humbled himself by sending his Son. His Son humbled himself by being born of the Virgin Mary, by suffering at the hands of mankind, and by dying at the hands of sinners. And he did that so that we would know the love of God, our Father, and we would call out to him and call out to him with those words, Abba, Father. To show how important that word is, it's interesting. There are three sections in Scripture. One is in Galatians, one in Romans, and one is Mark's account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In all three of these, the writer uses the word Abba. But right after Abba, it has the Greek word for father, pater. So in essence, when you translate that, it's like father, father. Now, why would you have to have a second father? You wouldn't. But that word was so important to the scripture writers, so important to the apostles, so important to the early church, because that's the word Jesus used for his heavenly Father. Just one of these texts is from Romans. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit who received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. As children of the Father, we don't live in fear anymore. As children who have been given the Spirit, we not only know God's love, know He's our Father, but call out to Him and know He cares. In Jesus' name, amen.